Welcome to Work From Your Happy Place, the podcast that equips you with the tools, know-how, and motivation to live your dreams and find your happy place. Be sure to sign up for our free weekly newsletter for a recap of the week's guests and a preview of what's in store. To sign up, simply text the word happy place with no space to 33444. Now, it's my pleasure to introduce the host of Work From Your Happy Place, Belinda Ellsworth.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Work From Your Happy Place. We have a great show for you today. This is Belinda, and I have Jonathan Ruttinger with me today. Jonathan has been instrumental in developing the field of canine massage for people at home and pet massage at the professional level since the mid-1990s. He is the author of 7 books, 6 DVDs, children's workshops and programs for scouts, camp, and after-school programs. He has facilitated over 300 week-long canine massage workshops to train people how to create and market professional quality businesses. His book, Creating and Marketing Your Animal Massage Business, is the text for a home study course, which is also a module in the Pet Massage Foundation Level Workshop. Recognized as an authority on massage for dogs, he has been interviewed on many major radio and television and cable networks. He has been featured in Whole Dog Journal, Dog Fancy Magazine, Natural Dog, Cosmopolitan, Glamour Magazine, Animal Wellness Magazine, Massage Today, and Massage Therapy Journal. Jonathan's contribution to the animal massage and bodywork field is his personal interpretation of canine massage. The pet massage technique is identified as a specific modality in the massage therapy textbook, Touch Abilities. Jonathan's vision for the canine massage industry expands beyond the school. He is the founder and president of the International Association of Animal Massage and Bodywork and also the president of the Association of Canine Water Therapy. Jonathan is often called upon for interviews in the national media. He is with us today, and we couldn't be more excited, as this is a field that I am sure many are unfamiliar with. So, Jonathan, welcome.
Hi, thank you for having me. That was quite an impressive introduction. I'll see if I could be worthy of it.
There you go. I know I was reading it and going, wow.
That guy's a mover and shaker.
No doubt. All right. Well, we're so happy to have you with us today because it's my goal to focus on entrepreneurs. And when I heard your story, I just thought, wow, this is so different. And it just shows how you can take a passion that you have and something that you love and create a business out of it. And I think that that's going to be so important for our listeners because many people just think, oh, that could never be a business or I could never do something like that. So that was one of the reasons I invited you here today. I was so impressed. So why don't you just fill our listeners in a little bit more about yourself and just kind of fill us in on some of the details about you and your business.
Well, our business is a school. I never thought that I would be running a school or that I would be an author or anything like that. I don't even like to read that much. So what it has evolved into is this wonderful school that we're in our 20th year of business, and we attract students from all over the world. And what I get to do, what this is really my passion, is to help people find their way. A lot of times we have when someone transitions from one vocation to the next, if they're retiring or they're laid off or they're having some sort of like a personal crisis, they look back to what made them happy as a child. And for a lot of us, what made them happy as a child is playing with their dogs and you know, being the nurse or the caretaker for their animals. So a lot of people tap into that kind of passion or that need to help animals. And I help them to take that passion and turn it into a business. And it's so exciting. We have students that have I just got back a few months ago from teaching in France. So, you know, one of my students started her own school there. We have students from all over the world in Japan and China and India and in every state in the United States, Canada, South America, South Africa. It's just amazing what has happened. I have, you know, by following my passion, by just kind of paying attention to my own personal journey, I've been able to make a difference. And that's very exciting. I mean, that's really what we want to do is to make a difference in our lives and to be able to help other people move on with their lives. Does that help?
Absolutely. Absolutely. That is great. So tell us a little bit about you and how you sort of came involved in this from the very beginning, as it's such a unique business platform. So what was your interest and how did you get involved?
I was always interested in dogs, taking care of my own dogs as a child, and never thought too much about it. You know, it was like me and Pepper. We were inseparable. Pepper would go on my paper route with me. Pepper would always be there. Pepper was my wrestling buddy. And I went away to school, went to university and started my life, you know, as far as, you know, in business. And my background is in fine arts. And so I worked in art galleries and owned art galleries in Chicago. One of the things that I took up during that time was, you know, I'm just thinking, I had a, everything works together. I'm thinking about different types of influences on me. But when I was very young, I had a horse collection and my parents supported that. And so I became very attuned to different types of horses and the quality of production of ceramic horses and horses carved in ivory, horses carved in wood, horses made out of metal and plastic and glass and all sorts. So I learned all about, you know, at the age of 9, 10, 11 years old, I learned all about different media, construction, quality of and precision of manufacture and that kind of carried on through that kind of the sense of being aesthetically aware came all the way through. So in university, I became a fine arts major, became a freelance painter, and then started working in picture framing, creating beautiful picture frames and working for a picture frame manufacturer that made those very ornate frames that you see in museums. That has kind of influenced me through my entire life. So what I want to do is bring that kind of aesthetic or pleasing awareness to other people. Around that time, you know, the awareness I had of horses tapped in. During that time, I started riding horses. And then one day my horse got injured. And so I got in there and I just started tapping into my love of taking care of animals and was, you know, helping the vet and doing all the bandage changing and all the things that are necessary. And my horse was confined to his stall for 3 months. During that time, I would go over to his stall every day and I would massage him and hose down his legs and change the bandage and realize that. And I started teaching myself how to massage. And there were no books about that. This is in early 1980s. There were no books about that. There was no one around who was doing that that I could learn from. So I had to teach myself. From there, people in my barn, it was a huge 180 stall barn on the north side of Chicago. So I'm working on my horse. The other people in the barn start looking at me and they say, oh, you know, your horse is really progressing nicely. Can you work on my horse? And within a year, I was traveling around from barn to barn, you know, and from my galleries in the loop area. And then in the evenings, I'd go out and I would work on people's horses and occasionally be able to ride my horse. Flash forward a few years later, I've changed careers. I've decided to try something different. I become a massage therapist. And I'm applying these principles to horses. And then I'm on a national television show doing a demonstration of equine massage. And my horse, within a few minutes, just kind of goes to sleep and just stands there. And so there's nothing to shoot. My interviewer looks around into this little barn and sees this dog laying in the doorway. And she turns to the camera and says, Jonathan massages dogs too. They get stiff necks. Let's watch him. And I'm thinking, okay, I could do this. I've never really thought about massaging dogs before. So all of a sudden, I held this dog's head in my hand, and his eyes rolled back, and his tongue fell out of his, you know, lolled out to the side. And all of a sudden, I knew that all of the training I had, all of my passions, all of the things I knew about massage, about businesses, about aesthetics, about wanting to help people, everything fell right into place. It was actually a religious experience, an epiphany, where I just sat and it was like the curtain. I'm looking at this dog and the curtain separates and all of a sudden I see thousands of dogs. I see thousands of people. I see the books. I see the covers. I see people happy. I see veterinarians working with me. I see dog trainers. It was just so exciting. And it lasted, you know, a fraction of a second, but it gave me an awareness of the incredible potential that's out there. It was the Akashic Record that Edgar Cayce talked about. It was a mystical experience that the saints talked to. And I was, you know, privileged to see the, you know, kind of universe open just a crack just for a second. And that moment changed my life. I had a choice. I could follow that, or I could just ignore it and just go back to massaging the dog and massaging horses. And I decided that this was so powerful, I was going to do it. And so we asked the people that were from the TV station if they would help us create a video. They did. Within a week, we had our first video done. And then we went out and I started going to dog shows and then started being requested to do interviews. And that's how it started. That was in 1997. July 11th, 1997 was the date, and we recently got a proclamation from the mayor of the city of Toledo saying that July 11th is Pet Massage for Dogs Day.
Oh, that's so awesome. Yeah.
So that day is not only celebrated in Toledo, but we are now celebrating it in Tokyo and Paris and in Nice, France, and in Germany and all over the world. It's in Australia. It's very exciting that we have really kind of like made this happen, brought this to awareness and brought it up to where a few years ago, I just gave a presentation to the American Holistic Veterinary Medical Association. So they're aware of it. One of our courses has just been, recognized and accredited by an organization called RAVE, which is the Registry for Alternative and Integrative Veterinary Education. So we're making a difference. We're bringing this amazing benefit to dogs, and people just really love their dogs, and we want to do everything we can for them. We're in an interesting time in our culture, I believe, where we're recognizing that animals, and this isn't something that we could have said 20 years ago, but animals have personalities, animals have thoughts and feelings and senses of humor. And we know that they dream because we watch our dogs kick while they sleep, but now it's taken on another level, you know, with the awareness of, you know, elephants crying and grieving and all the things happening when people are shooting wild animals in Africa, which is incredibly inhumane. So we're coming at an interesting place in our culture where we're really supporting our animals, understanding that they have needs and that the needs can be supported with body work and massage. And that's been the missing component in veterinary care is the body work, the energy work, the thing, understanding how chi runs through the body and meridians work. That's the thing that's going to make veterinary care even better.
Oh, that is wonderful. Well, that's exciting. There was a couple things that you said that I just want to make mention of because it's so interesting. I have been doing this little survey recently of entrepreneurs that are entrepreneurs now and have had great success, and like this little common link. And I didn't know this about you till you said it, but it's amazing because I was myself. So many of us had paper routes. It's a fun, interesting thing. And I was one of the first like girl, cause you were a paper boy, and I fought to have a paper route and be a girl, you know, a paper girl. Mm-hmm. And there's so many great business building skills and people skills that you learn at a very young age. And so when you said that, that was like, it grabbed my attention because I've just recently been doing these surveys, and you'd be amazed at how many really awesome entrepreneurs had that in common. And I think that's gone today. Like, no young people today will have that experience of having a paper route.
Yeah, that's sad. That's really sad. That's a really good point. It taught me responsibility. It taught me that I had to be someplace every day and be responsible for, you know, make the hardest part was collecting. I wanted to give the papers away, but not take their money. Yeah, that's a very profound thought, I think, that the kids are going to be missing today. So, yeah, good point. Good point.
All right. So tell us a little bit about like how this has shaped your lifestyle. And I mean I understand how it's been living out your passion, and that certainly has opportunities. But like, how has being an entrepreneur, because obviously prior to that, you know, you said you even shared in the questionnaire that we did that you had worked at, you know, Marshall Fields. And so it's like you obviously worked in some corporate America at some point, but like, what is being an entrepreneur? How has that shaped your lifestyle?
I am a creative. You know, that's the kind of person that I am. And so I'm constantly looking for ways of being able to create, being able to manifest beauty, harmony, help people. I guess I'm creatively searching for ways to learn skill sets. I knew that I needed to learn some management skills, to learn bookkeeping skills, to learn some the types of skills to run a company. And so a long time ago, I got a job actually at Pickway Shoe Mart, long time. That's back in the long time ago. And, you know, this is, I already had, you know, a college degree. I already had years of working in art galleries. But I went back because I needed to have those skills. And so I endured the, you know, 2 years of working for that company and got the skills I needed so that when I eventually went back to do something else, I had that skill set. I realized a long time ago that I don't know what as much as I need to know, and that I need to have a support system. I need a network. And so back when I opened my first art gallery in Chicago, I was talking to someone at a coffee shop. Actually, it was a Woolworth's counter. It's before coffee shops. That's how long ago it was. So we were going to be sitting at the counter talking to this fellow. And he says, well, I'm a member of a networking group. I have no idea what that is. And so he invited me to go to this group. And I sat in this table and people would it's kind of like BNI, where they would go around the table and they would introduce themselves. And so I got to meet people who were, you know, accountants and architects and attorneys and all kinds of business support people. And so with these people, I eventually became president of that networking group. But I was able to tap into the resources of and the vectors of experience of all of these people. And so I didn't have to wear all the hats. I had someone who could show me how to do the bookkeeping and show me how to do mailings and show me how to do the marketing that I didn't know how to do. So that's one of the keys, is realizing that you don't have to do everything if you have a solid network.
That's a great point. So yeah, thanks for sharing that. So what do you feel then are you've named, you know, building your skill sets, which I think is key too. But what are a couple of your greatest skill sets that you think have helped you in succeeding in owning your own business?
I think that I go back to creativity. Creativity is all about problem solving. And so what I do is I believe that I'm a pretty good listener. And then I don't respond right away. I will think about what they are saying and think about what the manifestations are and think of how I can turn it into my own. I can integrate it into who I am. I think that's a really important skill. So being a good listener, being a creative listener, and not forming an opinion right away, not trying to come back with thinking about the response while the question's being posed. Which caused me some problems during one of my first interviews. I was on Good Morning America in New York, and I had this person. I had 3.5 minutes on national TV, and this person asked me a question and wanted an answer right away. And I was sitting there thinking about it. And while I was thinking about, you know, pausing the three beats, 1, 2, 3. By the time I got to the third beat and had my response ready and was talking to her, she was already asking me another question. She wanted this program to really flow quickly. So frustrating. So that was a big a big lesson in my life. So some of the other things that other skill sets is maintaining a sense of wonderment, understanding that I don't know all the answers, and I'm constantly learning, constantly shaping opinions. Can I talk about my mentor?
Absolutely.
Okay, so I had a business mentor. I was a director of marketing for a picture frame manufacturing company in Chicago. And he and his wife had three sons. One of the sons was in manufacturing, in production. One son was in sales, and the other son was in management. So he just kind of like sat back, and he was incredibly bright. He was a University of Chicago MBA graduate, and he was just amazing. He would go on the road, a little aside, he would go on the road with his two boxers. Now, I have two boxers now, but he would go on the road with his boxers, and he would just take one business card with him. And he would travel all over the country, and that would be his vacation. He'd, you know, pile the picture frame samples in the back of his car. And he would travel around, and he would walk into a gallery, and they would say, "Do you have a card?" He says, "No, I just have this one card. Would you write it down?" And so, and that taught me a lot, because rather than just handing a card, they have to go through the process of copying it down and actually listening and paying attention and putting it into their files. And he takes his one old dog-eared business card back, puts it back in his wallet, and goes on to the next person. Wow, that is, rather than, you know, going to a marketing meeting and handing out 1,000 cards, you know, you make them actually, make people actually process what you're doing. That was huge for me to make sure that when I meet someone, I have a personal connection, have a develop a relationship with them. It's simple, but it's one of the keys. So this fellow from Chicago would sit in his office and he would simply think. He had essentially retired from the business, and he would sit back there, and every hour or so his meditations would come to the point where he had something that he wanted to talk about. And so he would call me into the office, and I would sit there, and we would talk about the new idea that he had or new way of thinking he had. And I remember there was one time he said, you know, I just decided we're going to raise all the prices for our picture frames, wholesale prices, by 15%. And I went, wow, that's a lot. He says, well, you know, I just did the math, and we may lose 15% of our customers, but we'll have to work less, we'll have less overhead, and we'll make 15% less frames. And eventually, within a couple of years, the business will grow back up to where it was, and we'll be ahead of the game. I went, wow, that's just amazing that you would have that kind of oversight and view of, you know, the entire industry. So those are the kinds of things that we would sit and talk about. And these are the types of things that I sit every morning with my coffee. I will sit with, you know, a dog on each hip, a boxer on each hip, and we'll sit and I'll just think and allow my mind to kind of open to what the possibilities are. And so that eventually turned into I decided that I would start writing a blog. And I said, you know, I'm going to give myself 6 months. I'm going to write this for, you know, every week, once a week for 6 months. It was kind of a little test. After 6 months, I said, you know, I can go for a year. And we're in our third year now of weekly blogs. I haven't missed one. If anybody wants to see them, they're on our website. I have all the blogs written for all these years cached on our homepage. So
that's great. So tell us a little bit about, what does work from your happy place mean to you? What is the feeling that you get when I say, well, what does working from your happy place mean?
Oh, how do you spell bliss? Every time I have a dog in my hands, because I have a private practice here, so people bring their dogs to me, and the dogs are either old, or they've just been through surgery, or they're in the process of going through some sort of rehab, or the dogs are sporting dogs that have had maybe some muscle tears or muscle weakness, or just someone wants to treat their dog on their birthday for a massage. Dogs come in, we develop a connection. I go right back to being a kid with my old dog Pepper, and I get excited, and my heart starts racing, and I start to grin inside, and I'm effervescent. I'm just bubbling. Every time we have a workshop, students come from all over the world. They sit here. They come to our school in Toledo. They sit around the table and they look at me and they acknowledge me as their mentor. And I have an opportunity to help them change their lives, to give them a path to where they want to go, a path to finding their own level of happiness. I am just so I'm honored and thrilled to have somehow created this life, living in this happy place. I am just absolutely thrilled. I get to write. I get to create. My creations go beyond the blog. I've written, as we said before, all these books. I get to do photo shoots. I do videos. I actually wrote a kids CD of songs, doggy songs for kids. We created a children's program for scouts and after-school programs. I get to go to Congress and be a lobby. I had to go down to Columbus, Ohio, and I get to, in my role as president of the International Association of Animal Massage and Body Work, I get to talk to legislators and stakeholders from all over the world. Someone that called me a couple of months ago from Ireland. You know, what are we going to do about this issue about the laws restricting people massaging dogs? I am in such a good place. I'm so happy to come to work, so happy to sit and think about work. I don't even want to go on a vacation. When I go on vacation, I look for dogs.
Oh, that's funny.
We were in Paris a couple of years ago. We went to the Louvre, and what did I do? I started walking around taking pictures of all of the dogs in the pictures. So I have this wonderful collection of the dogs of the Louvre.
Oh, that's awesome.
Which is just a hoot. We go, my wife and I will go down to Florida, and we'll walk around, and we are pulled, somehow we are directed into talking to veterinarians, talking to dog trainers, talking to going to pet stores, talking to people as they're walking their dogs on the beaches. Oh, it is just, because that's really in our culture, that's a wonderful way of kind of, dogs are lubricants. Social lubricants. You know, you walk your dog and you're obviously asking for someone to go over and say, oh, what a cute little dog. What's his breed? How old is he? You know, how long have you had him? Where'd you get him? What's his name? And people are pets are our new children. You know, there are a lot of people who are choosing not to have children. They have pets and they're taking the same kind of care. Actually, they're taking better care of their pets than we do of children because, you know, there are books on how to take care of pets. There aren't any books on how to take care of children. and my daughter will attest to that. My happy place is wherever I am because I'm personifying my business. My business and the businesses that my students create couldn't exist unless they were running them because I teach my students that they are putting all of their own history, their own resources, their own perspectives in their own companies. And so the massage that my students do, I couldn't do and they couldn't do mine. And so I take the skills and the passions that they have and help them create their own journeys. And that's so exciting to see people grow and grow and grow. I just had someone contact me last week. It was an email, someone who had taken just the first level, the foundation workshop. And she had taken it, I think, 11 or 12 years ago, and she had a question. I went, how cool is that? You know, they're still remembering. They're still tapping into. I have an article that's coming up in Massage Magazine in the March-April issue, and someone copied an article, and I thought it came out. Someone copied the article and put it on Facebook and said, my teacher wrote this, and isn't this great? So I contacted Massage Magazine and I said, how did this get out? And I thought it was going to be in print. And I was really upset. And then we looked at it. It was from 2011. I'm going, oops.
Oh, that's funny.
So that's we got awesome. Lots of likes on a copyrighted article from Massage Magazine.
Wonderful.
So that was pretty funny.
That is. So tell us, as we're coming near to an end here, what advice would you give to others who want to be entrepreneurs?
Probably the thing that is most important things is, first of all, follow your muse. Believe in yourself. If you have some sort of wonderful idea for yourself, something that really makes you happy, that is your bliss, something you can follow it. Go for it. You may question yourself, is this sane? Is this safe? It isn't. It's seldom safe at the beginning, but follow it. And then keep going. Initially, when you first start, there will be roadblocks. There will be people who are perhaps a little envious of you because you are following your passion and they don't have the nerve to do that. So they could be negative talkers. We could listen to the monkeys in our own head and listen to our own self-talk. And there have been many times where business has been down, especially when the economy crashed in 2008. We had to borrow more money than our house is worth in order to keep the business going. But we made the decision. We are going to stick through it. So, and then we've paid all the money back and made more money. And it's just, businesses are a roller coaster. It's not always a straight upward trend. And you just have to have perseverance. You have to be tenacious. You have to believe in yourself. And you have to, I guess that's the real key. Perseverance and believing in yourself, following your muse. Money's not always the most important thing. I'm not a rich man, but I have made an amazing contribution to, I believe, to humanity through the work I've done and through the contacts I've made and through the legislation I've influenced and the students that I've taught. And they've gone out and they're spreading the ideas and the techniques that I've developed all over the world. This is so gratifying. And you can do the same thing. You know, just in whatever creative journey you're in, you can keep it going, you know, with develop a good support system. You know, have mastermind groups were really important for me at the beginning. BNI was very important. Business Network International is very important. Trusting your guidance. I did have an accountant who, when we first decided we wanted to teach, I had this image. I had this fantasy that I would like to massage dogs in a swimming pool. And so we looked into it. We realized how much it would cost. And my accountant says, no, you can't do that. I mean, you'll just never make the money back. I said, oh, okay, thanks for the advice. So I went out and bought a pool. And and we had to rent a larger building. So our rent increased 3 times. And over a period of a couple of years, we were able to pay for the pool back. It took some time. There wasn't an immediate return, but over a period of time. And in the process, I taught myself how to massage dogs in water. I started taking classes in something called Watsu, started connecting with other people around the world. Water therapy for dogs had already started in England. And so I was able to connect with the people in England to find out what's going on. And with those contacts, I was invited to go to do demonstrations at the Crufts Dog Show in Birmingham, UK. So lots of contact.
Well, your passion clearly comes across in the interview. And I think what you're just saying to people is don't be afraid to take those opportunities and just be, like you said, it's persistence and sticking with it. When you have that idea, a lot of people will think it's a crazy idea and you just have to follow your heart on it. I think that, you know, we know from statistics that about 80% of people dream about, wow, I would love to do this or I wish I could do this. And only it's less than 10% of people truly follow that. So to hear somebody like yourself tell it and explain it and just share your journey with us, I think it's very inspiring to others to just follow after your heart in what you love and don't be afraid to take those risks. And it is a bumpy road along the way. It isn't, I loved your analogy. It was not just a straight shot up. And I think that is the problem with many business owners is they think it's going to continue to get better than it was yesterday. And gosh, I've been at this 36 years and I've had fantastic years and I've had years that weren't so fantastic. Mm-hmm. But the next year was stronger yet. And many times in the years that weren't so fantastic, it forces you to say, okay, what do we need to change? What do we need to do a little bit differently? How do we need to change this model and not do things the exact same way that we were? And out of that comes growth. And that's what people just need to really understand. So,
yeah, if I could give one more example of that, during that 2008 issue of, you know, where everybody was terrified to spend any money, we decided that we would move into a smaller place. And the smaller place turned into, it was an old karate dojo. And it was perfect. So instead of being in a place that was over 5,000 square feet with a swimming pool, we're down to 2,000 square feet. And it has become the model for satellite schools. So now we're training instructors to go out and create their own schools, teaching our skill sets and with our texts and our books and videos. It's taken our whole company into a totally different vector. We're so excited about this new part of our business. And it couldn't have happened really unless we had hit that economic wall.
Exactly.
So bouncing off is really important.
So in closing, just tell our listeners how they can find you or what are some exciting things that you're into and how they might connect with you.
Okay. Well, best way to connect with me is on our website, and that's www.petmassage.com. Our email is info@petmassage.com, and you can go on that. You can go onto the website. You can subscribe to our blog. We send out a blog every Wednesday. We have a catalog. Can't use catalog because I work on dogs, and we'd be happy to mail you that to you, and you just ask for that on the online as well. We have an 800 number. You probably don't want that. You can get that online. Just go to www.petmassage.com, and that's the best way to find out all about what I do and how you can learn how to massage dogs yourself, either your own dogs or teach your children to massage dogs or teach your scouts to massage dogs or to create a business massaging dogs, working with veterinarians, working with dog trainers, working at agility competitions. I know a lot of people who are dog sitters, dog handlers at dog shows, dog groomers. This is a great secondary part, or actually it eventually takes over the other business, but it's a great way to support that business. So, or if you have a dog daycare, or any, if you're a veterinarian, or if you're an RVT or a veterinary assistant, these are all things that you can do that will enhance your life. So,
all right. Well, thank you so much, Jonathan, for sharing your wisdom with us today and your enthusiasm. I always say enthusiasm is the number one ingredient that pushes you forward, and that shone through in this interview for sure. So thank you so much.
You are so welcome. Thanks so much for the opportunity.
All right. Bye now.
Thanks for joining us at Work From Your Happy Place. If you like what you hear, please share it with your friends and be sure to rate and review us on iTunes or Stitcher. For a free gift on finding your own happy place, please visit workfromyourhappyplace.com and click on the free audio button. Thanks again for listening.